Welcome to Travel with Anita and Friends. Now, can you all imagine you're 13 years old, you have a front seat to the civil rights movement, and the leaders are friends of your parents. And on one evening in May of 1961, wounded, tired, brave, and courageous youth come into your home. And those youth are just a few years older than you. Well, this is the story of Valda Harris Montgomery, a very fascinating story where she tells us about her place in history in her home during the Freedom Riders.
Actually, it began for my family with civil rights. As I said, the older I get, the more knowledge I'm gaining about my family. It really started back with my great-grandfather, who was an Alabama state senator during the Reconstruction period. His name was John William Jones. And I'm finding out that he was one of the civil rights activists with the desegregation of public seating, public accommodations, rather, in public places back in the 1800s. I believe it was 1865, maybe. Or 1875 Civil Rights Act, that he was a part of that. So my grandfather, my father was always talking about his grandfather. And, you know, we called him the senator this and the senator that. And we always heard about the senator, but that's all we heard was the senator. We thought that was a nickname for, you know, like chief and doc and those kinds of things, only to find out, no, this man really was a senator. So you're breaking ground even back in the 1800s. Well, fast forward to 1942, when the war breaks out, and then my dad is a member of the Tuskegee Airmen, that 99th group. And, you know, we were fully aware of that, but we still didn't know that that was a big deal. And for me, I didn't realize it was a big deal, honestly, until the HBO movie came out, the one with Lawrence Fishburne, Tuskegee Airmen. And I watched that, and you know, just say, yeah, my dad's part of that. And then when I saw his picture at the end, I was like, wait a minute, this is a really big deal as well. So in looking at him, and then with the bus boycott and being part of the bus boycott and then being part of the Freedom Riders and people writing about him like an unsung hero would be writing about him in all of their books. And everybody is saying things like he was the key to this. Or without him, this would not have been done with the boycott. Coordinating with transportation. And one of the female leaders of the bus boycott, Joanne Robinson, writes in her book, she labeled him as an ardent race man. And so the more that I learn about him, I see that. And I see that him stepping forward with that courageous act of opening the doors to protect those young students was something that he was very much accustomed to doing.
Well, your father sounds really outstanding, all the things that he has done. And I can truly see that my earlier statement that he was paving the way for the tomorrows is true in so many ways. And I mean, that's just amazing. It must really fill you with pride to have had a father like that, that has done so many things. But I want to ask you this, Valda. So as I think I read that you were 13 years old.
Yes.
This time. So as a 13-year-old, here are these students coming in. There must have been a lot of conversation, a lot of energy around, you know, they're coming to your home. Tell me, what was that like for a 13-year-old to see all of this going on? I mean, you were there and present in history being made.
Right. Well, it was not uncommon for our house to be filled with people and for strategy sessions and things to be, you know, to be taking place. So we were not in awe of any of this. It was unique in the fact that they were coming in being battered and beaten and like an escape, so to speak, and here's the safe house for them. But you're right, the conversations were not something that, the strategic conversations were not something that we, meaning my siblings and I, were a part of because we were in school. But as far as the quote socialization part of it, yeah, they were playing cards, or they would dance to some of the music, or they would eat, and you know, they were always hugging and playing, just playing around like older teenagers would do. They were kind of older teenagers because they were 19, but 20-year-olds, young adults, would do when you have younger people around in the in the house. You know, so I can say that, as I said, from an adult standpoint, that witnessing them and watching them, it's one of those things where you're in it and you're not realizing that you're absorbing that energy, as you just said. You're absorbing that energy and you're absorbing the discipline that they have that definitely has carried me through, because as soon as the Freedom Rides were over, then comes, I'm in the ninth grade now, and then you're joining the what was called the Freedom Army. So you're being trained in non-discipline approach through the SDLC handbook. And when they were trying to recruit children to start, children and young teenagers, to get involved in the civil rights movement to carry on. So that helped me a lot to witness these students. And the other thing that was unique, let's put it that way, they were mostly from Fisk University, and that was my dad's alma mater. So of course we were proud of that, because my sister and I were always, all of us were always prepped that that's where you're going to college. You know, when you go, there's no other college but Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's it. So my sister and I definitely, we finished there as well. But I have a tendency to think that maybe that had a little bit of in his decision making to open the doors, because he's this fellow alum, that's coming in.
Mm-hmm. Now, who were the Freedom Riders that actually stayed in your home?
Well, when they started out, and I can name John Lewis, Bernard Lafayette, that were there in the house. Bernard Lafayette, James Bevel, Diane Nash, Rip Patton, Hank Thomas, C.T. Vivian was there. These are some of the names that you see. James Lawson was there. Some of them were there overnight, that was spending the night. Some were staying at a hotel that was right on the corner. Some of the leaders would stay at a hotel that's right on the corner called the Benmore Hotel. And I'm really kind of still trying to clarify how did the number count continue to grow. And Rip Patton was the one that said that they had Freedom Riders coming in. Once they found out exactly where the safe house was, they were coming in from Nashville in cars. And so they would come to the house, and that's how the number count continued to grow. But John Lewis was the most, I guess, the most famous one. You had Paul Dietrich was there, one of the white Freedom Riders. One named Rudolph Graham. I remember him by name as well. But the most famous photo that people see of John Lewis with the bandage on the back of his head sitting on the floor was taken in the house, in the room. So if you look at that picture, and you'll see people, the younger people sitting on the floor around, all of that's done in the house. And in fact, if you do Getty Images, Freedom Riders in a Safe House, Montgomery, Alabama, Getty Images, you'll see tons of photos of them in the house, relaxing, studying, dancing, strategizing, you know, all of the above, because they were comfortable. And that's what gives me the most pleasure of knowing that mom and dad provided a place that these people could think, they could eat, they could sleep, they could recreate, they could strategize and re-energize and be prepared for that next leg of the trip. And just living in Montgomery, period, as I said, living through the boycott and the sit-ins and all the protest marches that were coming from Alabama State, and then ultimately to have it to land in your house, definitely made me more proactive. You're watching all the injustices that you're living with here in the South. And you're wanting to just say no. And it could be our baby boomer age group that we were just a defiant group. Being president of the Friends of the Freedom Rides Museum, after I've been telling the story after year after year after year, finally this organization is formed, and I was elected the president of the Friends of the Freedom Rides Museum. And what we're doing now is it has given me the ability to do exactly what I'm doing now, which is to tell that story. Also to promote the Freedom Rides Museum itself, the Greyhound bus station that has been restored, and just to be a part of that little piece of history, so important part of history. When you come to visit the Freedom Rides Museum, then you have to come by and visit the Richard Harris House as well, because it is also open, so you can come and be in the room in that space that I just got through talking about. You can look on for the website, which is www.richardharrishouse.com, and get an idea of what I'm speaking about today.
But now that's not the full story that I had with Belda. So if you want to hear that, check out my website at travelwithanita2ns.com. And also, to start planning a trip there, visit the website montgomerychamber.com. And to see all about the museum, visit ahc.alabama.gov to start planning that trip to Montgomery. Thanks for joining me today. See you guys in 2 weeks with another interesting person and a fascinating destination. Bye-bye.